Covenant will provide for you where circumstances will fail. You say, if you're relying upon the circumstances of a job to provide for you, inevitably the systems of this world are going to fail. But covenant, God, he never fails. He may not do it the way we want, but he never fails. And he's a God of covenant. And I would challenge you in 2015 to go to the next level. This is next level living. How many are ready to get there? I'm ready to get to next level living in 2015. I believe that that God is bringing us to, you know, we're done with 1 through 30. The levels of 1 through 30, we've seen all that they can provide. It's not enough. How many would say that in 2014, the levels of what we've experienced thus far has not been sufficient? There's not been sufficient enough healing for the sick. There's not been sufficient enough, you know, economic prosperity spoken by the word of the Lord. There's not been sufficient enough peace in our homes. There's not been sufficient enough rest for our souls. There's not, 1 through 30 just offered not enough. But how many know there's some next level living that's available to you and I? There's that secret place that we can abide under the shadow of the Almighty. That's that penthouse suite that you got to have a card to get in. You can't just push a button. There's this intimacy that allows the penthouse suite doors to open up. And you can go in there and you can try on the robes and you can sit down and you can invite your friends. And suddenly now you are experiencing life in its abundance. You know, you're eating peanuts that cost $10 a pop. You're drinking bottled water that they're charging you $25 for, and it comes square, and you're living a life that is beyond the realms of existence that you've ever known before. You ready to do that? And God's made it available to us. But here's the thing. In order to occupy that level of living, we must grow stronger in our ability to sustain this life that he's called us to. He warns the churches in Revelation. You remember that? He said, strengthen what remains. You remember that? And he's speaking to us today and he's saying, it's time to grow strong in the Lord and the power of his might. No longer is it, it's time to stop being strong in the world and the systems that exist. It's now time to grow strong in the Lord and the power of his might. It's time to strengthen ourselves in God. 1 Kings 19. We left that story where Elijah was in the desert. Remember, he was in Midian. And he found a broom tree in the desert. And you know, the broom tree provides. But the desert produces something on the inside. You see, the broom tree was there to provide for us. The cross is there and it provides for us. It gives us what we need. But see, those desert experiences, they produce something in us. They produce a work in us. I'm reminded of this story. One New Year's Day in the Tournament of Roses parade, a beautiful float suddenly sputtered and quit. It was out of gas. And the whole parade was held up until someone could get a can of gas. The amusing thing was this. The float represented the Standard Oil Company. With all of its vast resources, it was the keynote float in the parade, and it somehow ran out of gas. We can run out of gas and be so close to the resources. We could be directly connected to the resources and still run out of gas. How many know that we could represent? We could be here as representatives of the one who has all the resources. We just received the offering. The Bible declares that he owns all the cattle. He owns all the mountain, all the gold. He owns all the prosperity in the world. It's his. He occupies it. And we're directly connected to him as children. How many know you could be connected to it but still run out of gas? We can be connected to the source of all strength, of all revival, of all power, of all healing, of all restoration, and still come up empty. We'll have to go find a can of restoration or a can of healing. Or we're going to have to go find it because there's something there. There's a truth there that says just because you're connected doesn't mean you're going to always live full. Just because you represent him doesn't mean you're always going to run on full. Trust me, I know. I run on E constantly. In my car, not on Jesus. I push the boundaries of God's grace all the time. How many do it with me? Don't raise your hand. I'll take the blame. I'll take the blame. He said, you ask anybody gets in my car, it's constantly, the light's on. How many live with the light on, you know? It's time to live on full. It's time to get our strength. It's time for the systems of this world to recognize that we're the parade. We're the keynote float in this parade. I just declare that over you. You are the keynote float in your parade, in this parade of the world. The world's looking upon you, and the world is watching you. You're beautiful, and you're going down Main Street, and everybody's eyes are on you. Because what you represent the economy of God. You represent the blessing of God. You represent the healing of God. They all know you're connected. You're that company that has all the resources. You're that company. You're the one. You're driving the truck that has all the resources connected to you. And if you didn't know it, and you stumbled in here not knowing that you are the main event in the parade, I just declared over you today, you are the float in the parade that everyone's come to see. But we backed up a little bit. We sputtered and spit it out a little bit in 2014, but how many know 2015 is going to be full? We're going to fill up the gas tanks, and we're going to go, and we're going to drive as hard and fast as we can for revival, for restoration, for healing. We need strength for this next level. 1 Kings 19:5-6 says, then as he lay and slept under a broom tree, suddenly an angel touched him and said to him, arise and eat. Then he looked, and there by his head was a cake baked on coals and a jar of water. So he ate and drank, and he lay down again. You see, the desert is hot. The desert is tiring. It's disorienting. It's a weak place. It weakens you, the desert. It weakens your physical state. It leaves you weak. It leaves you weary. It leaves you thirsty. But you see, this desert is doing something through all of that. It's strange to me that God would say, go to the desert. Isn't it strange to you? Why would you send me to the desert? I just need to go home. I'm wore out. I'm tired. Just let me go home. Let me kick up my feet. And God said, no, go to the desert. I want to create something in you. So oftentimes we resist the desert. But God's like, if you just come out in the desert, I'm going to do something in you. I'm going to produce something in you. There's some things that happen in the desert. First of all, you find your assignment in the desert. Elijah found his assignment, his next assignment for next level. He found his assignment in the desert. It was only in the desert where God began to reveal to him his master plan. You recall the story. He said, okay, Elijah, after he's done with the broom tree, Elijah runs and he hides in a cave. And there on the mountainside, God shows up again. And then God reveals his plan to Elijah. He says, okay, this is what's going to happen, Elijah. I'm going to give you your purpose now. You couldn't see your purpose in the desert before, but somehow the desert creates purpose in our lives. God speaks to us. He speaks to us more clearly in the desert than he does when everything's great. He whispers in my prosperity. He screams at me in my insufficiency. In my pain, he screams. Because I can't hear God anymore. Well, maybe too many things are going right in your life. And you just need a circumstance. You just need a desert experience to create an assignment for your life. And there God began to reveal the assignment, the next assignment for his life. Who would have knew that the desert would produce another generation twice anointed? He said, you go anoint Elijah. You go find him and you anoint him. Then he gave him all of these. He said, this is your next assignment in the kingdom. You go do this and you go do this and you go do this. And then he specifically said, you go find Elijah. And when you find Elijah, you anoint him, and he's going to be the prophet in your place, and I'm going to do something very special for you. I'm going to bring you into a place. There's going to be a whirlwind going to come, and I'm going to sweep you up into heights you've never known before. I declare that prophetically over your life this morning, church. God is about to show up in a whirlwind and sweep you into heights you've never known before. But there's a purpose and there's assignment attached to it in 2015. There is an Elijah waiting out there for your words to be spoken over him. You see, you can't be reckless with this assignment. You can't be irresponsible with this assignment. And too many times we've let the Elijahs walk out the back door. We've let them go and we've not commissioned them. We've not given them. We've not laid our hands on them. We've not Norma Wheeler'd them. We've not taken a hand, put it on a child and said, speak destiny into them. There's an Elijah waiting out there. Every one of us have an Elijah. It shouldn't be an empty seat in this joint. Because there's an Elijah somewhere. Everybody get your Elijah in your mind. There's an Elijah somewhere waiting for you to lay your hands on him and speak to his future. Begin to declare to him, yeah, I know what I did, but Elijah, watch this. You're about to wreck this place. You're about to tear it up for Jesus. You're about to get down in such a way that they're going to say, you watered the hands of Elijah and you received twice the anointing. They're there. They're out there somewhere. But we've been irresponsible to this point. And God's saying, it's time to man up. This is your assignment. What's your assignment today? Because God speaks in the desert. He speaks your purpose in the desert. Pam, it's going to happen. Come on, everybody, put your hand toward Pam. We declare the favor of the Lord. The top 3%, you now, resting in the top 3% in that place. You establishing the government of God. Nehemiah to your generation. You are the cupbearer to the king of your generation. We declare now the walls of Jerusalem restored through your work in Jesus' name. Amen. Mitch Fallis, same thing. Mitch Fallis, same thing. Same word. It's time. It's time. Secondly, this is what the desert. You see, that purpose is produced in you. That purpose is produced in you in the desert. It doesn't come in the living room. It doesn't come on the beaches. It doesn't come in. It only comes in the desert. You can't get this. You can't get that purpose in a comfortable place. It's almost like we've got to live. You ever get a rock in your shoe? You get a rock in your shoe and you're walking around and you're in a place where you can't get it out. You are acutely aware of the rock in your shoe. We've got to live with a rock in our shoe. We've got to live with an assignment in our belly and on our mind and on our lip. There must be a rock in our shoe that reminds us every day we are on commission from the Lord. I have an assignment. I'm not here by accident. I'm here by providence. Oh, I'm here by providence. I've come with an assignment. I've come with a purpose. Where's Elijah? We walk into a room. I don't walk into a room accidentally. I walk in with executive presence. Number two, there's an anointing in the desert. An anointing. You see, the desert will produce in you an anointing. Deserts produce anointing. Ask Moses. Ask Moses. God said, go to the desert. He runs out into the desert, and next thing he knows, he's leading a revolution. Next thing he knows, he's leading an entire people out of bondage and into freedom. There's such an anointing in the desert that rests there that if God should just get that anointing on you, you could lead an entire revolution. You can lead an entire people out of their bondage and into their freedom. You can walk through the ocean floor. I mean, you could just walk right through. There's such an anointing to move stuff that's only found in the desert. The anointing. That's okay. If you don't know what the anointing is, I have people say this. Like, Troy, just tell me what the anointing is. The anointing is this. The anointing is this. The identifiable presence. Boy, somebody's anointed back there. I don't know how they did that, but the identifiable presence. Identifiable presence. You want to know what gave Moses the courage to go into Pharaoh's house and let him know what was up? The identifiable presence of the living God. See, it's not enough that we get goosebumps. We must possess the identifiable presence. That means when the sinner looks at you, they look at you like Nehemiah and go, what do you think? Nehemiah was cupbearer to the king, and the king looked at him whenever he made a decision. Nehemiah wasn't a king, but he was anointed. He was anointed, and the king knew his anointing. The anointing on his life created favor from the kings of this world. And suddenly he rose to power, right? Just like Moses. He rose to power. He walked in there and said, listen, this is the way it's going to go down. Why? Because I wear the identifiable presence of the living God. Only the desert creates the identifiable presence of the living God. That's really what the anointing is. When it all comes down to it, do you and I carry the identifiable presence? I mean, it's okay to look like a gun, but you're not a gun unless you got bullets. Huh? How many of you know it, right? I can carry a gun, but it's just an empty threat lest there be some bullets in it. But, oh, Jesus, if I got some bullets, you better not mess with me. Huh? I got a magazine about that long, and it's full of bullets. I might not be a good shot, but I'll catch up to you eventually. That's what the anointing is. The anointing is the gun plus the bullets. It gets the job done. You walk into a place, and suddenly now everybody stands up and listens. It's identifiable. They look upon you and say, you've been in the desert. They said it of Jesus' boys. All the Sadducees and Pharisees, they brought him in. They tried to arrest him and said, they interrogated him and said, I think you've been with Jesus. I know you're unlearned, you're untrained. I'm not sure how you got it, but it must have come because you hung around Jesus. There's an identifiable presence that you carry on your life that was formed and fashioned in the desert. And Elijah got it. Elijah got it. Elijah did some stuff. Huh? He did some stuff. Just look what came from Elijah. Elijah was so bad, they lost an axe, and he just walked over, threw a stick in, and it floated to the top. The anointing. That's the anointing. Number three, you'll find provision in the desert. God will produce. See, it's one thing to find it. It's another thing to have provision produced in you. Provision produced in you. Bread and water produced for you and in you. Not only do you just eat the bread and the water that the angel of the Lord provides for you, but it's produced in you in the desert. Suddenly, you are bread and water wherever you go. Because it's produced in you. The interesting thing about the desert, the desert, watch this, the desert where Elijah was, where you and I are, it is at the exact correct temperature to bake bread. I just released that over your life. Wherever you are right now, whatever is creating pressure and pain and heat in your life, it is set at the correct temperature to create bread and manifest water for where you're at. Because this is what the Bedouins know. That's really good. Y'all go, take a note, come back, catch that later. The Bedouins knew something. The Bedouins, they're a tribe that lives out in the desert out there. I slept with them. They're an interesting bunch of fellows. But these Bedouins, their food tastes nasty, but these Bedouins... I thought I was eating camel turds, y'all. I really did. I really did, Lana. I thought I was eating camel turds. But these Bedouins knew something. They know something. They know that when the temperature rises to its peak in the desert, they can take the sand of the desert, dig down deep enough, and mold an oven to bake their bread in. And that's what they do. And in your life, just think about the pressure that is there. Think about the scorching sun that is there. I just declare prophetically, you're going to get a sunburn. An S-O-N burn in 2015. That came to me earlier. I just released it. You're going to get a sunburn. It could be cold as it wants to be outside. The sun is shining bright in your life. But just understand that whenever the pressure and the heat get to such a degree in your life, it is at its peak moment. It is optimum time to create an atmosphere for you to manifest bread for your life. And what does bread do? Bread is the sustenance. Bread, what does the Bible say? Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of it. Bread in this passage represents the word of the living God. And whenever the pressure of life gets to such a degree in your life, the circumstances are pushing, just take those circumstances. Make and mold a place that the Word of the living God can rest in. I mean, just take yourself, mold yourself, and say, put it in me, God. I need some bread for the travels I'm about to go on. I need some life to sustain me. I need physical strength for my body. And that's what bread does. The broken body of Jesus provides healing. The body, it is the bread of life that will give us strength to maintain our course in the kingdom. And it is the bread of life that we are deficient in the systems that run our nation. You belong at the top 3% of those systems because you possess the bread of life. The bread of life. You possess the bread that sustains those around you. The bread of life. You see, the desert produces provision in you. The desert produces strength in you. Lastly, in four, the bread produces physical strength. You see, the conditions of your desert experience are creating strength for your assignment. You get out in the desert long enough, you form what is called stamina, huh, Sensei? Stamina, right? You go work out with Sensei Paul, and you will create stamina in your life. Strength will come to your life by living in the desert. You'll be able to do things you never were able to do before. You say, how in the world? I didn't know I could do that. But only the desert creates an awareness of the impossible. You see, you're not aware of the impossible so long as there's bread on the table, bills are paid, everything's fine. We resist the desert, but it is in the desert where we begin to realize there was a strength formed in me that will sustain me. And when I come out of the desert, man, I am loaded. I am full of strength. I am full of power. I have a word in season to those who are weary. I've been there and done that. I came out and I'm living. Not only am I living, I'm thriving. I've come out of this desert and I'm stronger than I ever was. All I need is a little bread to get strength. Just give me some bread. 2015 cannot be defined while we're delirious from malnutrition. We must become those who pursue bread, who form bread, who eat the bread, who live upon the word of God. Because man shall live by, you cannot live by bread alone, but by every word. We must begin to live our lives every day. We must consume this until it gets in us. And then when the heat comes around us, suddenly out of that furnace will come nothing but the word. The word of the living. Doesn't matter what the doctor said, the word will come out. Doesn't matter what the attorney said, the word will come out. Doesn't matter what the judge said, the word will come out. Because the word will always come out of the furnace of affliction. So I just got to get the word in. I got to get the word in my kids. I got to get the word in my family. I got to get the word in my job. I just got to get the word in there. And when the furnace gets turned up high enough, the desert will produce an atmosphere that will just put out the word. It will put out the word. And your reflex will be word, word, word. When it gets hot, when it gets tiring, when it's weary, word will come out. The word. Your Midian is producing bread and water. I don't have time to go to water. I'm going to move on. My next, 2015 must become the year when we receive the touch from God that awakens us to revival. Just declare it. It must become the year when we receive the word that awakens us. We need a touch. We need a touch. I read this the other day. No more convincing evidence of the absence of parental affection exists than that compiled by Renee Spitz. In a South American orphanage, Spitz observed and recorded what happened to 97 children who were deprived of emotional and physical contact with others. Because of a lack of funds, there was not enough staff to adequately care for the children ages 3 months to 3 years old. That's almost a prophetic statement in itself. Nurses changed diapers and fed and bathed the children, but there was little time to hold, cuddle, and talk to them as a mother would. After 3 months, many of them showed signs of abnormality. Besides a loss of appetite and being unable to sleep well, many of the children lay with a vacant expression in their eyes. After 5 months, serious deterioration set in. They lay whimpering with trouble and twisted faces. Often, when a doctor or nurse would pick up an infant, it would scream in terror. 27, almost one-third of the children died the first year. But not from a lack of food or health care. They died because of a lack of touch and emotional nurture. Because of this, 7 more died the second year. Only 21 of the 97 survived. Most suffering serious psychological damage. We wonder what is wrong with the world today. We look at what's happening in the world around us and we wonder, what is wrong? What is wrong is there's not been a touch from the Father. There's not been a touch. But look at what Elijah, look at what God does for Elijah. It says that an angel touched him. It said he put the bread in the water by his head. That's another message. And then the angel did something. He touched him. He reached down and touched him. And he said, arise. That word arise, we'll get into it. It's loaded. And eat. Touch. Matthew 8:3 says, then Jesus put out his hand and touched him. And he said, I'm willing. Be cleansed. Immediately his leprosy was cleansed. Mark 5:27 says, she touched him. You see, in our strength, we touch him. But in a desert, he graciously touches us. He said, if you'll draw near to me in your strength, I'll come near to you in your weakness. But there is a nation, there are governments that are void of the touch of heaven. We wonder what's wrong. We scratch our head when we watch the news and we say, what is going on in our nation? There's never been a touch from heaven. We need a touch. Your assignment is supernatural. Therefore, it requires a supernatural touch. And a touch will always bring two things. A touch will bring the word. It will bring bread. And a touch will bring water. A word will increase physical strength, and water, it is the spirit, and it increases spiritual strength. Because dehydration creates delirium. Hear me now. Dehydration creates delirium. Too long without the spirit, and we become confused and disoriented in life. Too long without the spirit, and we become confused and disoriented in life. You keep walking through this. This is why I don't understand, you know, certain, you know, denominations who don't rely upon the Holy Spirit. Because I know too long without the water of life, and I become delirious. I become confused. My soul is parched. I don't understand what's happening. I have no revelation. I have no truth. I'm living in darkness. I need the Spirit of God to restore my soul. I need my soul to be watered, to awaken my spirit to God's truth. Yeah. Because that's what a touch will do. A touch in 2015 is what we're going to need. It's going to produce, watch this. Just receive this, prophetically receive this. 2015 is going to produce in us healing and revival. Healing from the broken body, from the bread, and revival from the water. Just receive that for 2015. Just receive healing. Supernatural healings will be manifested all around us. Everywhere you go, healing in 2015, because there is bread there. The bread of life, the broken body of Jesus was produced in order to manifest healing in the earth. And then the water upon my lips, it restores my soul. And it brings revival. We are a refreshing drink of heaven to the earth. And wherever we go, we revive the weary. We revive the weary. If you're weary today, be revived in Jesus' name. Let the Spirit of God just pour all over you and refresh you. Because we need both for our assignment. You need both of those for our assignment. I'm here to tell you God's not forgotten you. God has not forgotten you in your desert. He's not finished with you because you decided to lay down. He's not finished with us because we took a nap again. He's still there. He's still there. 1 Kings 19, 6 to 7 says, then he looked, and there by his head was a cake baked on coals and a jar of water. So he ate and drank, and look what he did. He laid down again. Then the angel of the Lord came back, what? The second time. He's the God of the second time. He is the God of the second time. I don't care how many times you've fallen. He is the God of the second time. Doesn't matter if you took a nap again. He's the God of the second time. He always comes back. He's never going to leave you laying there. He's always going to come back. No matter what the failure, no matter how many naps you've taken, he always comes back. I came upon an interesting story of a young lady. Her father died at age 15. She went into the medical field. She was an X-ray technician. And so every day she'd go to work, and she lived with this pain of her father's death. And every day she'd go to work, and she'd observe these people carrying around their X-rays. She'd say, in one of the procedures, she'd bring them in, say, what, you know, you got your X-rays. Because how many have ever had something and you have an X-ray from the last thing? And she'd say, they carry the X-rays with them. And she'd say, day after day, I witness these people coming into the office, coming into the hospital, and they're carrying around the X-rays from their past. Whatever, all the trauma, all the pain, all the hurt, all the suffering, all of the loss attached to it, all of the brokenness attached to it, broken bones, broken lives, broken heart. They're carrying around these X-rays representing the broken moments of their past, the failure of yesterday, all of the stuff, all of the mistakes. They're just carrying them around. And she said, I couldn't take it anymore. She said, this is what she did. She began to take X-rays that were left over. She'd take them. She'd take them home. And she'd take them up on top of her where she lived. She lived in a city, and she had a place where she'd go up top. And she was a painter. And she'd take them and she'd lay them out. And where everything was broken in that life, she would begin to paint a beautiful tapestry of promise, of beauty, restoration. I declare that over your life today, that whatever you're carrying around that's broken, God wants to use that as his canvas. He wants to use it as his canvas. He doesn't want you to identify yourself with the broken bones and the pain and the loss and all of that. All that's done. And God in this moment is taking all of that. He's taking your X-ray and my X-ray, and he's laid it down in front of him. And he begins to paint a beautiful picture of what your tomorrow looks like. It's no longer full of pain. It's no longer full of loss. It's no longer full of suffering. Now in this moment, God is beginning to paint a picture of your life that is so full of his love and restoration that it changes the way. Now you look at that every day. You can hang it on your wall, and you can begin to look at it and say, this is my Father's love for me. No matter how much I fail, no matter where I've come from, he loves me, and look at what he's declared over me. I'm sailing, I'm flying, I am the beloved of my Father. The angel came back the second time. Don't allow a season to turn into a lifetime. Victims sleep again, victors rise up and fight. It's never too late to get up. You're in here today. If you're watching, I want you to know it's never too late to get back up. There's no faith in the fall down. There's only faith in the get back up. Resist the tendency to lay down again. But listen, it's okay if you lay down again. You need some rest. It's okay. Because he's going to come back. Resist it. Give him the X-rays in your life, and he'll take them and use them as his canvas. I'm going to stand to your feet with me all over this place. Give me a microphone. Hallelujah. If you're here today and you don't know the hope of Jesus Christ, can I tell you, you have an assignment. You have an assignment. You have a destiny. You have a purpose. that God loves you so much. He came before you ever existed. He knew you before you, before this moment. He knew you. He knew you in eternity before you were released to time. And when time was right, He released you. And it's in this moment. See, you see, you making this moment about you, but this moment is bigger than you. This moment speaks to you and declares to you that this moment needs you. This moment needs you. So if you don't know Jesus today, let me tell you something. God has brought you here so that way you could be born again and bring heaven to the earth where it's needed most. And we're going to pray a prayer in a minute after my sister's done here.
Hallelujah. Church, I just hear the word detoxify. We live in a very toxic world. And we need that to be cleansed. I can tell you, as much chemo as I've had, my physical body needs detoxified. But even more than that, we as the children of God living in the world, not of this world, but living in it, the toxic buildup gets on us and tries to get in us. But the Holy Spirit of the living God, He will cleanse us. That's what He wants to do. So we got to let that rain fall on us. And we've got to allow the Holy Spirit to detoxify us. We got to lay down those x-rays that He was talking about. And it's not just that. You've been carrying these weights. They were singing about that earlier. You've got to lay it down. God didn't mean for you to carry it ever. All the junk, all the lies of the enemy. He is a liar and the father of all lies. Don't believe it. Lay it down. And let the Holy Spirit detoxify your life so that you can go to the next level in 2015. Amen? Amen. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Glory to God.
Pastor Mary's going to come now and she's going to lead us in a prayer that closes. But I pray in 2015 you would receive the water and the bread, that you would allow the desert to produce in you. Huh? Allow the deserts to produce something in you. Journey ahead. God bless you.
We're just going to ask our altar ministers and our pastors to come and just stand up in the front. I just really feel like there's people here that really just need to connect. They need to connect with Holy Spirit. They need to be filled again, filled again, filled again. And there may be some here that don't know exactly who He is, that maybe you need to receive Jesus in your heart. Maybe you need to make that decision today. I'm going to allow Him to be my Lord. So if that's you, just come forward and pray with someone. We're just going to agree with you. We're just going to just hold you and walk you through it. If you need healing in your body, Jesus already paid that price. Jesus paid that price. We want to agree with you. We want you to be healed. We want you to be made whole. If you want a prophetic word, if you want to be spoken over, you want to receive life this morning before you leave, come and pray with someone. Let's pray as we go. And Jesus, thank you for what you've done in here. Thank you, Father, for releasing your Spirit. Thank you for each one, God, as we take this anointing out into our cities, into our workplaces, into our families, God. Open our eyes to see the assignment before us. Let us release everything that you've put inside of us, everything that you've filled us with, so we can see your kingdom come. We can see heaven on earth. Now we bless our family as they go. In Jesus' name. Remember, we're here to pray with you. Please come. Please come if you need prayer. Amen. Let's worship.